96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
It's healing time. It's hope time. It's Hillary time. It's healing time. It's hope time. It's Hillary time.
Civil rights icon Reverend Jesse Jackson from the DNC podium today, talking to the party faithful about their nominee. He's just one of the political heavy hitters scheduled tonight, including President Barack Obama. But once again, the Black Lives Matter issue grabs headlines tonight. We're talking about that and the impact on the DNC. My guests are Drew Elands, political commentator, and Lisa Crooms, law professor and associate dean of academic affairs here at Howard University. Also, WHUR news reporter Taylor Thomas joins us with guests from the DNC. If you want to join our conversation, if you have a comment or a question, give us a call right now. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk right away, Drew, and I'll start with you, about this issue in Baltimore. The Freddie Gray trials are essentially over. Charges dropped for all of the police officers now. No convictions. What impact do you see this having politically on the DNC? Hillary Clinton's been talking about Black Lives Matter this week.
Well, you know, I have to get over the emotion of what's been happening. And when you talk about the impact with the DNC, I think at the end of the day, for Hillary Clinton and quite frankly, all of our legislators, we need to have a real discussion around police reform. And in that regard, what that means, and even from the training and the accountability, African Americans and, quite frankly, our Hispanic brothers and sisters are really, I think, overcome with despair around the fact that no one is being held accountable. And there's a pressure point and a pressure cooker. And we all know what happens with that pressure cooker. It explodes, right? Mm-hmm. And if we don't directly address it, you know, it's going to be a problem. I was having a conversation the
other
day. Hold
on, before you go on, we've got Taylor Thomas live in Philadelphia, okay. And she has a special guest. I want to make sure that we get to her before we lose him.
Okay.
Taylor Thomas in Philadelphia, go right ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Well, joining me now, we have Ben Jealous, former president and CEO of the NAACP. And if I'm correct, Mr. Jealous, you were formerly a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Still am.
Still? Okay. Yeah. All right. So it didn't change.
No, I'm still a Jesse Jackson supporter, and that was 1988. Yeah, I mean, the reality is that when you're on a campaign, you give it your all. It sticks with you. You stick with it. And with the case of Bernie, we're building a movement. Now, our movement leader has decided to support Hillary, and most of us, about 90% of us, either have already made that transition or are planning on it. There's about 10% of us who are still struggling or won't, but I'm right there with them. We have like 3 days left till voting day, and much less until early voting starts, and we have got to get out there and keep the madman, otherwise known as Donald Trump, out of the White House.
Ben, we got to get straight to tonight's issue about the recent decision in Baltimore.
Oh my God.
With the Freddie Gray case.
Yeah,
what
tragic.
Are your feelings leading the NAACP formally? What are your feelings now as a person who led an organization that was all about justice for African Americans?
Look, you know, we need to dissect this case as activists, and we will. As people who push for legislative reforms, and we will. But I also hope that progressive prosecutors like our state's attorney, Ms. Mosby, will too. Because this can never happen again. It can never be the case that the only participant left to prosecute is the van. The reality is that his spine was broken, and somebody should be in jail, and somebody should be out of a job. So, you know, really, I think the pressure now goes to Commissioner Kevin Davis. He has some officers to fire. We need to be safe in Baltimore. That means dealing with our murder problem. But quite frankly, people aren't going to come forward to give the police officers the information that they need if they're afraid that the officers will kill them, even when they're innocent and unarmed. So the reality is that this is not over as far as an issue for those of us who family in Baltimore, who work in Baltimore, who live in Baltimore, and who are black, and who want us and the children in our lives to be safe.
Harold, I'm hearing this comment many, many times over here throughout the convention.
I want to bring Lisa Crooms into this because legally, Lisa, when you look at the totality of this Freddie Gray case, some could argue nothing happened. Your thoughts about what happened in Baltimore today?
I think that it's a bit of an overstatement to say that nothing happened.
Okay.
I think there were some monumental differences in terms of the way that this was handled. First and foremost, with State's Attorney Mosby taking such a strong stance and communicating to the community that was most affected that she was going to do all that was within her power to see the justice was done. I think the larger issue is it's an institutional issue. And this is why many people call for special prosecutors to be either put in place specifically for individual cases or to institutionalize it. I heard an interview with Mosby this afternoon, and she lamented that this was a really difficult case, that she ran into difficulties in terms of getting cooperation from the police that she had never seen before.
Well, she claimed that there was a conspiracy by some police officers to deep six this case. And so that certainly raised the ire of the union as well as some of the rank and file also. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I need to go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Of course, this is day three of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Taylor Thomas is live there. We're talking about all of the issues affecting the DNC today. Let's go to Liz, calling from Northeast. Liz, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm calling because I want to offer my profound support to the prosecutor, Ms. Mosley. She is certainly caught up in a situation where this is, you know, shoot the messenger. I think the FOP, if anything, is guilty of bait and switch because there is nowhere that one would ever have any expectation for justice to be done that an organization would be allowed to investigate itself. And so this is about shoot the messenger, you know, make her the bad guy so that it shifts the views and the responsibility off of the police department for disciplining their officers for the criminality that they engaged in.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for your input. Drew, real quick, your thoughts about what she just said.
Yeah, I think accountability is the key, and it is systemic. When you have this big blue wall, and like she said, the FOP causes a problem in how we actually are able to handle these cases, in particular as it relates to accountability. Many of these officers, not necessarily in the Freddie Gray case, but in cases around the country, they've all had some sort of infraction against them, but nothing ever happens. I mean, the guy who killed Eric Garner still has a job. Even in Montgomery County, the guy who used, the police officer who used the illegal chokehold there still has a job, and that's a problem. And you are absolutely correct, Lisa. Things need to happen. People need to lose their jobs over this.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go back to Philadelphia and the DNC and Taylor Thomas. Taylor.
Thank you so much, Harold. Of course, we're here with Ben Jealous talking about what's happening at the DNC and talking about the Freddie Gray case and Black Lives Matter. Where do we go from here, Ben? Where do we go as a people? People are getting frustrated about what they're seeing or the lack thereof.
You know, look, we got to do real reforms. We have to bring pressure on police chiefs. We have to bring pressure on mayors. Mayors and police chiefs have to understand that they will lose their job if innocent people are killed by the police and nothing is done about it. And that's just, you know, what's real. The reason that they operate with impunity is because they feel like they can get away with it. And that's why I think the example in Chicago of the DA losing her job is so important. And, you know, quite frankly, the reality is that if you have a strong mayor, then the police chief is, you know, it's system, then like we do in Baltimore, then the chief knows if my boss is scared, then I better do something, or we'll both lose our jobs. If you have a weak mayor system, then the chief has more autonomy. Either way, folks at the very top that know that their head will roll if people aren't held accountable for killing our young people.
It's a really tough situation. I think people are looking for a direct 1-2-3 answer.
Well, we've got 1-2-3-4 phone calls on the line, and I want to take one real quick. Jonathan calling from Dulles. Jonathan, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening. I just think everything is, like, very disturbing. And what I mean by this, we still don't know how Freddie Gray died. And politics, the mayor rushed to judgment. She should have did a thorough investigation, and we would be able to find out the truth as we speak. As far as accountability goes across the board, not only the police, but the person's being stopped by the police. Also, black men, if they feel as though an officer has mistreated them, they sit and talk about it in the barbershop all day long versus filing a complaint. As far as officers keeping their jobs, behind the scenes, a lot of times administratively, they may get cleared as far as the criminal process is concerned, but they still may lose their job. So,
yeah, but see, Jonathan, that doesn't always happen. Lisa, quickly, your thoughts about that?
I mean, I think that in some ways it's a labor issue, and what we can't discount is the weight pulled by the police unions. I think that some of the more recent demonstrations here in D.C., Oakland, New York, with Black Lives Matter and the Black
Miami
Youth Project. Mm-hmm. Where they went to the union headquarters to make it clear that whatever they have been able to negotiate as part of their collective bargaining agreement, which is the basis of whatever rights as well as whatever discipline they might be subject to, that's the problem. So even if you have a strong mayor, even if you have a strong chief of police, it's the rank and file and the collective bargaining agreement that governs their employment that ends up being the major issue.
I need to take a break, but if you are on the phone, that includes Shanita in Southeast, Mo in Alexandria, and Wallo calling from Prince George's County, please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. You will be able to hear the program. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We will continue with your phone calls in just a bit on Sirius XM, Channel 141.
Howard University Radio Network.